You're on board KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind.
From the KCAA Weather Center, I'm Rod Tanner. For this afternoon, generally mostly sunny, our high 66. We'll have patchy fog tonight, otherwise generally mostly cloudy with a low of 49. We'll have patchy fog on Sunday morning, otherwise we'll have a partly sunny day with a high of 69. Look for patchy fog Sunday night, otherwise generally mostly cloudy with a low of 49. Monday, patchy fog lingers well into the day, otherwise we'll have a partly sunny day to start the week with a high of 68. Again, for this afternoon, we'll have mostly sunny skies and a high of 66. That's your weather forecast for this hour from the station that leaves no listener behind, NBC News Radio, AM 1050, KCAA.
This is the KCAA Community Calendar. The world-famous Harlem Globetrotters will take fan interaction to a new level when the 2014 Fans Rule World Tour comes to the Inland Empire for games at the Citizens Business Bank Arena in Ontario on President's Day, Monday, February 17th at 2 p.m. Online voting is now open at harlemglobetrotters.com/rule, where all fans can choose which game-changing rules they want to see here in the Inland Empire. That's the Globetrotters at the Citizens Business Bank Arena in Ontario, President's Day, Monday, February 17th at 2 p.m. And that's your KCAA Community Calendar.
Welcome to Isla Earth. Birds of a feather flock together, supposedly. But sometimes very similar birds can be from wholly different regions and are actually a flock all to their own. Take the Philippines, for instance. It's a 7,000-island nation and a biodiversity hotspot. Two-thirds of its mammals and three-fourths of its amphibians exist nowhere else on Earth. But estimates up until now say that only a third of the Philippines' birds are endemic, the idea being that birds do, after all, fly. Biologist David Lohman of the City University of New York questioned this. Traditional bird identification relies on plumage color and markings. That's not always reliable, because separate species can look identical. So for his study, Lohman drew DNA samples from Philippines songbirds that seemed identical to mainland species. He used recently developed genetic tests for comparison differences, and he found them. In the species he tested, the Philippines birds looked identical to their mainland counterparts, but each population had a distinct genetic lineage. The study makes these birds all the more special because they are one of a kind, illustrating, Lohman says, the urgency of preserving habitats here and everywhere. Learn more about bird identification at islaearth.org. Isla Earth is recorded on the campus of California State University, San Bernardino, and produced by the Catalina Island Conservancy, because Earth is an island.
Like to spend a few days in another world? Then write this down. Golden Bear Cottages, Big Bear Lake. Now, listen, this is not some corporate-owned operation. It's family-owned and operated by some real nice people. Unique? Oh, you bet. Golden Bear Cottages features 28 one-of-a-kind cabins on a 5-acre historic site. Great for families, couples, and groups. And cabins are available with 1 to 7 bedrooms. Golden Bear Cottages is just a stone's throw from Big Bear Lake and super close to 3 great ski areas. Now, I could go on all day about Golden Bear Cottages in Big Bear, but to see everything, just go to goldenbear.net. Again, goldenbear.net. Golden Bear Cottages in Big Bear. Clean, comfortable, and affordable. Check them out. goldenbear.net.
Hi, this is Bob with Real Estate Talk with Bob and Randy. Tune in every Thursday afternoon from 3 until 4 at KCAA Radio 1050, and we will be there to answer your real estate questions, the latest real estate news, and to talk to the leaders of the real estate industry. Our Real Estate Talk, you can find out how to stop your foreclosure, first-time homebuyer information, loan modifications, different kinds of loans you can buy with, short sale strategies, and real estate investing and more. So don't forget, tune in every Thursday afternoon at 3 for Real Estate Talk with Bob and Randy. You'll be glad you did.
Real talk for real people. Right here in the Inland Empire. We are 1050 AM KCAA.
And welcome. It's the afternoon on Saturday, February 8th. We still got a. We have our guest yet? We're going to do that real soon? Okay.
Getting them up.
Give him a call. Give him a call. You know, he's probably waiting by his phone, wondering. Plus, you know, he might want to hear my opening statement, see? Douglas V. Gibbs, Constitution Radio, KCAA, AM 1050, rebroadcast, KCXL, Kansas City, Missouri, and WHTH, Youngstown, Ohio. Welcome to the show. It's great having you. And, I tell you what, the last episode, our guest had a death in the family. We had to reschedule him to a later date. And so we just kind of on the spur of the moment decided, you know, Jasmius and I will just kind of do a little debating on the air because even though we're both very, very conservative, very constitutional-minded, sometimes when it comes to the tactics and strategies of the Republican Party, we have a little bit of a difference of opinion. He holds the Republican Party, I guess, in a little higher something than I do, or I don't remember exactly what it is, but, you know, we did a little bit of a battle. And Alex Ferguson, who's on the air with me right now and always is, you know, for the most part, took my side of the argument, and I expected as such. And then Alex decided he wanted to make sure that he got in there, and I'm glad he did, that he got in a little statement about the death of Pete Seeger. And I know a lot of people thought Bob Seeger had passed away. You know, it was his father, Pete Seeger, his folk singer type. And Pete Seeger was an admitted communist and so on and so forth. And so Alex said a few words about Pete Seeger, and then I said a few words about how, you know, Jane Fonda is as much of a traitor as Pete Seeger was, and I probably wouldn't have anything nice to say after she dies anyway, either. And over this past week, I have received no less than 13 angry emails from listeners over what we had to say about Pete Seeger and Jane Fonda. One of those emails that were not real happy with me, matter of fact, was one of the people that is very important to me here at KCAA, the CEO of this station. And, so I decided I wanted to open up today's show before we bring on the guests with a statement. And I also put it on politicalpistachio.com last night. So if you want a copy of what I've got to say, it's also on politicalpistachio.com, titled Pete Seeger, Communist Nazi Sympathizer. A week ago on my Constitution Radio with Douglas V. Gibbs radio program on KCAA, 1050 AM, one of the voices that spends time behind the microphone with me, Alex Ferguson, said a few words about the recent death of Pete Seeger and the legacy the man left behind. He accurately pointed him out as a communist, pro-Nazi, and a hero of the hard-left Democrats. I added that Pete Seeger ranks right up there with Jane Fonda, in my opinion, of their treasonous activities, and when Jane Fonda dies, my words will not be any better for her. The liberal left hate mail regarding that statement was nuts. Words about what Alex and I had to say about Seeger and Fonda included words like obscene, disgusting, this was a young man from who gave me a address or city that I did not recognize, and I have a funny feeling it's not even American. The FCC needs to shut you down for the hateful speech you spewed. Well, so much for the First Amendment's articulation regarding the freedom of speech. Pete Seeger is not someone, Pete Seeger is not someone anyone but a communist could hold up as a hero. If you are a Democrat that holds him up on a pedestal, you are apparently ill-informed regarding who Pete Seeger really was, or you are a communist and are not willing to admit it. He was a traitor, in my opinion, and that opinion won't change because of over a dozen profanity-laden emails screaming at me for daring to call a spade a spade. Looking back on American history, Pete Seeger fits nicely in the villain column. The leftists claim that, like him, Seeger was for the working man. Was he for the working man, or was he pushing the bourgeois versus proletariat concept of Karl Marx? Clues to the answer of that question goes all the way back to World War II, where Pete Seeger, along with other American communists, stood beside Hitler against the West. From the very beginning, Americans saw communism and Nazism as two ideologies born from the same root foundation. They were both great evils and still are. Only the communists, Nazis, and American left refused to admit the stark truth. Hitler's National Socialism, fascism, was the same as communism in everything but name. They are both political philosophies that require totalitarianism to be carried out. The private sector is either eliminated or controlled through regulations with these political concepts. On the political spectrum, where the deciding factor over if a philosophy is to the left or the right is based on percentage of government control, 100% being the extreme left and 0% being the extreme right. They both are on the extreme left, just a few notches further over from today's American liberal left Democrats. The communists in America, like Pete Seeger, who decided to stand against their own nation in favor of Hitler, did what they could to cripple the ability of Britain and America to fight against Hitler. Key armaments factories were closed by wildcat strikes forced by communist goons terrorizing union members. Communists picketed the White House and worked directly with the American Bund to oppose rearmament. Publications were given orders not to deride Hitler in cartoons, but to open both barrels on Britain. Pete Seeger was right in the middle of this support for the Nazis in their war with free nations. His communist folk singers, the Almanac Singers, composed a viciously anti-Roosevelt album, Meet John Doe, which savagely attacked Roosevelt for trying to aid Britain in its fight against Hitler. Pete Seeger, who sided with Hitler and considered Stalin a hero, has passed away. And the liberals of the Democrat Party are angry because Alex and I called it like it is. Those complaining about our words regarding Pete Seeger brings two quotes to mind. Quote number one, the American people will never knowingly adopt socialism, but under the name of liberalism, they will adopt every fragment of the socialist program until one day America will be a socialist nation without knowing how it happened. That was Norman Thomas, six-time presidential candidate for the Socialist Party of America. And finally, where this came from, nobody really knows. It came from a variation of speeches by leaders of the Soviet Union. The Kremlin will not raise the red flag over America. The Americans will raise it themselves. That all said, thank you everybody for listening. You got anything to say about that, Alex?
Do I ever? I think I've said many times that the 20th century history of America regarding the conflict between conservatives and communists has been presented to us as a complete lie. For instance, I didn't even know, after graduating from college, I didn't even know that Hitler and Stalin had made a pact, a non-aggression pact, and that they had marched into Poland together. Now, in the process of that, Stalin captured 15,000 officers and intellectual young men in Poland, and he told his KGB, different name back then, they changed their skins, but he told his KGB to get these people on his side. And after many months, the KGB, I think it was Beria, came back to him and said, these people are patriots, they're Catholics, they're Christians, they're not going to be changed. Hitler says, kill them all. So in the Katyn Forest, they took pistols and fired, they'd put the Polish guys' heads together so that they could put a bullet through two heads with one bullet, save ammunition and money. And the people that lived near the forest could hear screams and shots all night long. The American left said that was the Nazis that did that. We have absolute proof now that it was Hitler, and it was during the period of time that Pete Seeger changed He had originally done songs for John Doe, as you say. He had to recall all those records and put out a new album of war songs saying called Dear Mr. President. Now, he got on some awards from the ACLU and from President Clinton at the Kennedy Center. And that sounds very impressive, except the ACLU, as I can prove easily, was founded by communists for communists. Roger Baldwin was the leader. That guy Thomas you were just talking about was one of the people.
Right, Norman Thomas.
Agnes Smedley, who was a spy. Mm-hmm. All of these communists founded the ACLU, and for the first 10 years, all they did was defend communists. Then they kind of branched out to look more mainstream, but they were still doing a propaganda job for the Communist Party. Now, when it comes to the Hitler-Stalin Pact, again, that people don't know about. They don't even know that the communists supported the internment of the Japanese. That's one of the things that doesn't get spoken about. But the Hitler-Stalin pact was interesting in that Stalin was the most paranoid leader in history. He didn't even trust his own agents. He would kill his own people, his own generals. He slaughtered them. But the one person on this earth that he trusted was his soul brother, and that was Adolf Hitler. The two of them were almost identical. And by the way, later on, Stalin went after the Jews. People, that's another thing they don't tell you about, but he started a Holocaust, and that was when he died. But the point is that the Hitler-Stalin pact was not broken by Stalin. Stalin never turned on Hitler. Hitler attacked Stalin in Operation Barbarossa. So we're dealing with a guy. Pete Seeger was quoted. Now, these things are all in documentaries and books and stuff. You can find it if you look for it.
Right. It's all available. Mm-hmm.
But Pete Seeger was quoted as saying the worst thing he said about Stalin was that he was a hard taskmaster. Now, you have to remember that Stalin, in 2 years in the Ukraine, starved 6 million human beings to death on purpose. That's women, children, babies, everybody. Starved to death. The children were eating the bark off of trees. Mothers would get so frustrated with their children begging for food that they would take them by the ankles and smash their head against the wall because they couldn't stand it anymore. There was a sign in the Black Book of Communism that was on the road in Ukraine. It says, "Do not eat your children. It is an abomination to do so." Well, the same thing happened in China. But in China, they switched children and then ate each other's children. This is not myth. This is the stuff we're not taught in our schools. When it comes to Jane Fonda, there's so much to say about her.
Yeah, we only have so much time here. So.
Well, she named one daughter Vanessa after Vanessa Redgrave, who was a communist revolutionary for sure. She named her son Troy after Nguyen Van Troy, who was a Viet Cong assassin that tried to kill Robert McNamara. So these people are – she said at Whittier College that property is theft. And then in an interview with Barbara Walters for Monster in Law, trying to defend that movie, she was talking about being married to Ted Turner. And Barbara Walters says, "How many houses do you have?" And she says, "I don't know." And I think she said either it was 28 or 38, one or the other. Now, here's a woman that has already proclaimed people who own property, rich people, to be criminals. And she's got dozens of houses.
Well, that's because there's a difference between two classes of wealthy to these people. There's the capitalistic wealthy, and then there's the socialist wealthy. And the capitalist wealthy are wealthy due to greed in their minds, and the socialist wealthy, of course, took it from the capitalist wealthy, and that's okay. Now, I've got a guest waiting, and he expected to come on right off the bat, and I had originally intended that, but this was too important. We had to address this. Let's go ahead and bring on the guest, Bob McDill. We got a couple of minutes before we go to break, and then I'll give him, until the following break, so a good 20, 25 minutes. But Bob McNeil, you have been on hold all the time, so you've heard us talking. So what do you think?
I have been on hold, and I've heard your conversation. It's a great conversation. I love hearing stories about communists and socialists and the destruction they've done to the world in the last 100 years or so.
And it's got to be turned around. And matter of fact, you're a firm believer in turning things around. Too much power in the hands of the elite is a dangerous thing, especially when they're able to do it through taxation, where they use the rules to go after their enemies and support their friends. And as a matter of fact, you have gotten so frustrated about it, you've thrown your hat into the 2016 race.
That is correct. I'm running for president of the United States in 2016 as the candidate from the American Citizen Party, a party that I formed, to bring about revolutionary change to this country in a peaceful, constitutional way.
A peaceful constitutional way. Well, that boy, you're definitely the right guest for Constitution Radio then.
Now, yes, I am.
Now, you You're a Texas businessman. Let me see if I've got all this right. You're a Texas businessman, and your frustration is, just brought you to the point where you want to run. But one of the things that you've proclaimed, and I'm going to make the statement, and then we're going to go to break and have you respond to it when we come back. This is one of the statements that he has made, folks, that if elected president in 2016, he will use the Article 2, Section 2 constitutional power of the executive branch to issue a national pardon to all Americans for not filing income taxes, which will and that will be a way to replace our 100-year-old corrupt progressive income tax system with indirect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises, which, if you read the first seven articles, you understand that's where the founding fathers stood on this stuff. And that way, the direct and any direct taxes apportioned according to the census, and really that was because it was the states that paid the taxes. They directly taxed and then paid their percentage. That's how it was done before. But that's a fascinating statement. That's a fascinating thing to go after and a way to disarm the IRS. Could you imagine the president of the United States saying, "Nobody file, and I will issue a pardon for you not filing"? How does the IRS fight against that? How does the left fight against that? That would be an interesting way to go. Let's go to break. We'll be right back. Bob McNeil is going to respond to that statement, give us more information, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun for the next 20 minutes. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
KCAA.
What's your constitutional IQ? Your quest to learn the Constitution can be fun for the whole family. Learn about the Constitution as you play the Constitution Quest board game. Learn more at ConstitutionQuest.com.
AM radio just got better. You're listening to Constitution Speaker Radio with Douglas B. Gibbs on KCAA Radio, AM 1050.
Ready to begin that project? FST Sand and Gravel is family-owned and managed and has been serving Southern California since 1964. We provide a variety of aggregate and sand materials direct from the manufacturer. Prices and quantities are available for the large contractor all the way down to the private homeowner. No job is too big or too small. So visit us at fstsand.com. That's fstsand.com.
The most diversified radio station on the dial, AM 1050, KCAA.
Welcome back. Constitution Radio, Douglas V. Gibbs. PoliticalPistachio.com, DouglasVGibbs.com, and ConstitutionAssociation.com, DouglasVGibbs.com. You can access everything from there. I'm a author. 25 Myths of the Constitution is now it's been available now for a couple of weeks. Fish around at all, at Amazon, you'll find it. 25 Myths of the Constitution by Douglas V. Gibbs. And in a couple of weeks, I'll be doing, in about actually a little over a week, I'll be doing a book signing at Sons of Liberty in Norco. Sons of Liberty in Norco off of Hamner and Town and Country. And then first of the next month, we'll be doing a bunch of them at the Myriad of Temecula Republican Assembly, Constitution Association, and I will have a box of books with me for the Corona Norco Eastvale Tea Party meeting. Now, that all said, let's get back to our guest, Bob McNeil. Okay, so you created the American Citizen Party. You are an accountant, a former internal auditor, and a self-employed business consultant responsible for multi-million dollar financial reviews. You were in the United States Marine Corps, which Alex will love because he is a brother in arms here, 1968 to 1974. And you believe that if you become president, you will. There's no belief about it. You will. If you yes. Become president, you will use the power of the pardon to eliminate the IRS. Do I have that right?
That is essentially correct, yes. You know, the power of the pardon exists. It's an exclusive power to the president, and the president can use that. And what the Constitution says basically is the president has the power to issue pardons and reprieves for offenses against the United States for any offense except for impeachment, which leaves the door wide open for every other offense.
Right.
Now, tax evasion is currently an offense, failure to file is currently an offense, and other tax-related items are currently offenses, and people are in jail, in prison.
You know, we have an IRS that is in complete disregard of the Fourth Amendment and the Fifth Amendment and so forth.
Yes, and by the way, I have personal experience of dealing with the Internal Revenue Service, having faced them down in tax court and federal court, and received dismissals in both courts. So so I know what the IRS is. I know how powerful they are. I know how they bend the rules and commit fraud and,
right.
in doing what they do. And it's time for them to go. And it's time for the American people to get the freedom and prosperity back that is rightfully theirs, but has been taken from them over the last 100 years by various laws that have been passed, the tax laws just being one of them. But we need to start somewhere
right.
with the revolution, and this is where I intend to start.
Okay, this is your way of doing it. Now, the IRS, I mean, the corruption, the political use of the IRS is nothing new. I mean, every president since its inception has used the IRS to reward his friends and punish his opposition.
Mm-hmm, that is true, but that will stop in 2017, and going forward, no other president will have the power to use that because the agency will cease to exist in its present form. Now, moving forward, we're going to still collect taxes, but we will do so under the original taxing clauses of the Constitution.
Right.
And we will still need a tax collection agency to oversee the collection of taxes from the state and whatever other revenue sources that we have. But never again will any American citizen ever file a tax return again, spend billions of hours a year preparing to file taxes, paying people to file taxes.
Would you then, if you had a Congress, a friendly Congress, or if you get the states to convention to do so, would you push to have a new amendment then proposed to repeal the 16th Amendment?
Yes, that's exactly what I proposed. And there are two documents I wrote. And, this whole revolution is a demonstration of the power of the pen over the power of the sword. And so I approached this as a former Marine. The last thing I want to do is go to battle. I don't think that's a good idea. We can see all the sorry wars we participate in as a nation. I don't want to see one more American citizen die for needless cause. And that is it. So we don't need to put our lives on the line to get our freedoms back. We just need, and this is a way for us to vote to get our freedoms back on this solid, constitutional, infallible plan, because Congress, neither Congress nor the Supreme Court, can prevent me from signing this document and giving this pardon, because they have no authority over the president in this manner.
We've got an agency that's been corrupt, and it was put into place corruptly. I mean, if you look back in history, there's evidence that there wasn't even enough states to ratify the 16th Amendment, but the Secretary
right,
of State,
yes.
Confirmed it anyway. Mm-hmm. And I remind people, if you were to eliminate income tax right now, just eliminate it right now,
yes.
The federal revenue would drop to the same level it was in 1998. So, I mean, there's a lot of revenue that comes in other means. And also, this would not totally eliminate the revenue by taxation. It would go back to the way it's supposed to have been, where it's
correct.
Through the states and the states, based on enumeration and so forth. But also, I remind people that during the 1880s, 1890s, the federal spending in total was about 3 to 4% of GDP. And a friend of mine and I, about a little less than half dozen years ago, about that, we did a little research. I got to find all the paperwork on this because a lot of people have been asking me for it. We did some research, and what we did is we eliminated every federal spending item we believed to be unconstitutional. And once we eliminated all of those unconstitutional spending items by the federal government, what was remaining was about 5% of GDP.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that said, so if elected president, is that something you're going to tackle also, is spending and unconstitutional spending?
Oh, absolutely. And I did the same type of analysis on the 2009 federal budget, when you could actually download that budget off the website, and I analyzed over 1,000 programs and did the same comparison. And I figured out at the end that I could probably, and not probably, but I believe that we can have a fully functioning, fully funded, constitutionally limited government for between $1.5 and $2 trillion here today. fully funding the military, fully funding all of the 17 things that are authorized in Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, and have a government that is about half the size it is right now. That would get us down to a federal government that is within 10% or less of GDP, and will continue to be less because when you put $2.7 trillion out, when you remove $2.7 trillion from Washington and give it back to the American people in the form of their paychecks each month, that stimulates our economy from the bottom up with about $2.7 trillion annually. When we deal with and I eliminate both the corporate and the individual income tax because we pay those taxes anyway.
Right.
What that does is it frees up and allows corporations to bring $3 trillion in capital that's waiting offshore, not wanting to invest it in this company, in this country. Now we're talking, we now are stimulating in 2017, the U.S. economy was $5.7 trillion, and we will see a GDP that will take off like a rocket.
Now, folks, you're listening to Constitutional Radio with Douglas V. Gibbs on KCAA AM 1050, also at KCAAradio.com, and, of course, you can catch the podcast. Just go to DouglasVGibbs.com, find the Constitutional Radio link, and on the left in that paragraph, you will find the link to the podcast page to check this show out at any time or to recommend it to others. You can even download it to your computer, and, of course, you can also listen. You can listen by phone at 832-999-1050. Now, that said, okay, so you call yourself Mr. McNeil, and I found this fascinating. I want you to explain this to the listeners. You call yourself an ordinary man living an extraordinary life. What do you mean by that?
Well, I'm 65 years old, and, you know, when I was raised in the 1950s in that era with those family values. I'm the child of an intact family. My parents were married for 58 years before they both died, and I have four brothers and sisters. So I have a wonderful family life. I have friends. I have a good career. I'm a single man. I was married for 12 years but divorced in 1983. I have two wonderful daughters and three grandkids. But I've been single now for over 30 years. And I chose that because I had a feeling in the back of my mind that I was cut out for something else, and that marriage to me would somehow inhibit me from doing that, from being all I could be, so to speak. So in that 30 years, I have lived a wonderful life. I have a nice career. I make a decent living. I'm not rich by any means, by anybody's standards. But I am able to do things and make decisions and be totally in control of my life and also be responsible for all of my decisions. And so that's the definition to me of an extraordinary life. When one has that freedom to live it as one chooses, you cannot have a better life.
Well, yeah, and you know why live life in any way other than extraordinary?
Absolutely, yes.
Bob McNeil, meet Alex Ferguson. You're both Vietnam-era Vietnam veterans, United States Marine Corps. So, Alex, you got anything to say to Mr. McNeil or any comments or questions?
Just Semper Fi, brother. Ura.
Semper Fi. Absolutely.
Nowadays they say Ura. I don't know where that came from.
Ura.
It's supposed to be
Ura. We never said that. No, it was always Semper Fi back in the day.
Yeah. But you got anything for him, Alex, on the topic?
Well, I'm interested in his getting out in 19 – his getting going in 1968. That was the year I got out. So,
oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, we missed each other by moments.
I guess we did, yeah. I was 19 years old when I raised my right hand and enlisted and spent 6 years in the Marine Corps.
I was 20 when I was in boot camp and 21 when I was in the hospital.
San Diego or Paris Island?
I was at San Diego.
Yes, same here.
One of those Hollywood Marines.
Absolutely, me too.
You remember being on the tarmac and the airplanes would be landing and the drill instructor would have to stop his instruction and you'd watch him go nuts.
I know, yeah. Had the airport run next door.
Yeah, and we all wanted to get on that big airplane and go home.
there were many guys that looked over that fence at night, just you know, screaming for mama.
Yeah.
But I stuck it out, and it was the best time of my life, I think, and it helped make me the man that I am today.
Well, the Marine Corps is the most wonderful experience you can have in your past, but it's murder to be in it.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Well, great talking to you guys. Yeah, is there anything else you want to discuss with
Yeah, yeah. We're going to definitely get back on the topic, but I did want to add, you know, the man I called Dad was in the United States Marine Corps, which is why I got in the Navy.
Okay,
I'd already been in the Corps. He raised me. He was actually in Vietnam. I think it was, I want to say 64 to 66 or 66 to 68. I can't remember the exact time period. But anyway, okay, now.
Can I say one more thing about
sure,
the Marine Corps?
Sure,
my father served. He lied about his age when he was 16 years old and enlisted in November of 1941. And at age 17, he found himself on Guadalcanal. So he served in the Marine Raiders in World War II. And obviously, he lived and went on to be a productive citizen, but he served as an example to me on what it is to be a man.
Now, in your statements, you have indicated that you're disillusioned with the two-party political system, and rather than complain about it, it's time to do something about it. I agree with that. I believe in being active, and I do believe we can, in many ways, also build this from the ground up locally. So you decided to create your own political party outside the two-party system. And the first response from the average person is going to be, you know, this is beyond David versus Goliath. This is David versus Godzilla, two Godzillas at that. you know, how in the heck do you think you could pull this off?
Well, actually, I'm doing it right now. I formed the party, and I wrote this plan in 2007. I didn't just arrive on the scene here. I've been disillusioned for quite a while, and so I wrote the plan in 2007, not with intent of ever running for president. I just wanted to solve a problem, because that's what I do for a living. I solve problems. So I came up with this plan. I came up with what I believe is the solution, and my intent at the time, and this was 2008 now, just getting into the 2008 presidential elections, my intent was to give this plan to a named Republican who's running for president and say, please run on this plan and save our country. Thank you very much. Well, I was looking around at all the candidates that were lined up in 2008, and, you know, I just came to the conclusion I would not give this plan to any one of them. And so I was left then with, okay, now what do I do? I can put the plan up on the shelf and let it sit there and say, man, I wrote a great plan one day in my life, and here it is. Or I can take some action and be bold and say, I'm going to step out and be the one to present it.
In other words, if not me, then who?
Exactly, exactly. And so in 2008, with friends and family behind me and people that I met, I actually ran what I call a four-month presidential campaign as a write-in candidate. And it turns out that after the election, I didn't know, but I actually got quite a few votes in 2008, based solely on what the people knew about my plan and also knew about me as a person. People consider me a pretty nice guy, I believe, considering what I do.
And when it comes to your plan, you got some fascinating criteria, all of which
exactly.
I totally like. One, it must be constitutional. Two, it must be peaceful. Three, it must transcend race, religion, age, gender, political affiliation, economic status, and all other things that the politicians and the media use to divide us as a nation. And it must restore liberty and prosperity to all American citizens. And here's the thing about the political left, and political left would include a large segment of the Republican Party as well,
yeah.
Is that they see the world in groups. They see us all in different factions and groups. And I don't see us in groups. I see us all as Americans. I'm going to assume that you totally relate to that comment.
Oh, I do too, yes. I mean, I'm friends with people of all groups, and I don't care who you are. And it was intended by the founders that we all have the same level of freedom, I believe, and we don't have that today. And it's because we have been segmented into groups, and we are fighting against each other and creating this tension that does not need to exist. And so my plan eliminates that. Well, if you're going to have a peaceful revolution, I read Sun Tzu's Art of War in preparation for this, and in addition to a lot of other founding documents. And the one line that stood out from the Art of War to me was this: to win without fighting is best. And so I set out from the very beginning to find a solution that would disarm my opponent. That's the best way to defeat an enemy without fighting, is to disarm them. And so if you read and study my plan and understand how powerful it is, what it does, it eliminates almost all of the arguments of the left of both parties. And because what it does, I'm going to enter the arena of ideas in 2016, and I'm going to be up against I don't know, maybe Hillary Clinton, probably. I don't know who it will be from the Republicans. But I'm going to enter the arena of ideas, and I'm going to enter with the most powerful plan that's been written in the last 100 years. And my opponents will come in without one. And it's going to be up to the American people to decide. Who do they want to lead them in the 21st century? Who offers them the one thing that has always been rightfully theirs, but they've never had, and that is liberty and prosperity? And who will not? And it'll be the other two candidates from the other two parties who will not. So that's the fine line that I will draw in the sand, and the American people can decide on which side of that line they choose to stand.
And for people to learn more, they can read your Proclamation of Freedom 2017 Economic Freedom Act. They can go to the AmericanCitizenParty.us, AmericanCitizenParty.us, BobMcNeilForPresident.com, that's BobMcNeil for President.com, and ram-v-irs.com. Final words for the listeners so that they can really consider you as their next president.
Well, I just want to let everybody know that there is hope for America. There is a solution to our problems, but none of the politicians that we have in office today are willing to take the political risk to make anything happen or to get outside the status quo. They all want to be reelected. They all want to keep their power. None of them are willing to do the things that are necessary to restore your freedom to you, and I will.
And with that said, thank you for joining the radio show, and we are impressed pretty good. I really enjoyed it. Thanks for coming on. We'll definitely keep you in mind for
thank
president.
Thank you very much. I appreciate
it. Bye-bye now.
Semper Fi, Alex.
Semper Fi, dude.
K-C-A-A.
Ready to begin that project. FST Sand and Gravel is family-owned and managed and has been serving Southern California since 1964. We provide a variety of aggregate and sand materials direct from the manufacturer. Prices and quantities are available for the large contractor all the way down to the private homeowner. No job is too big or too small. So visit us at fstsand.com. That's fstsand.com.
Do you know about the USA? Do you know about the government? Can you tell me about the Constitution? Hey, learn about the USA.
The Constitution is the instruction booklet for taking back the country. Douglas V. Gibbs on KCAA 1050 AM.
In 1787, I'm told, our founding fathers did agree to write a list of principles for keeping people free. The USA was just starting out, a whole brand new country, and so our people spelled it out, the things that we should be.
The Murrieta Temecula Republican Assembly is the largest chapter of the California Republican Assembly. The MTRA meets the first Friday of every month at 6 p.m. at the Temecula City Hall Conference Center, 41,000 Main Street, Temecula, California. Learn more at mt-ra.com. We are the conscience of the Republican Party.
Your voice, your opinions, heard round the world at www.kcaaradio.com. The station that leaves no listener behind, AM 1050, KCAA.
And a quarter hour to go, Constitution Radio with Douglas V. Gibbs, and video feed there from Washington looks a little, I don't know, blurry, fuzzy, hazy. It's got to be all that rain or something up there. Is that, you know, you know what it is? It's from him breathing on the screen, on the lens so much because of what happened to last Sunday. He's like in, yeah, he's a, don't do that. Oh, we just saw what you had for lunch inside your teeth. yes. Direct from the City of Champions, Jasmius is on the air. Welcome, my friend.
Go ahead. Get it over with, Jasmius. I'm just sitting up here making confetti angels.
Confetti angels.
Yeah. You see how much confetti there was at the Snoopy Bowl last Sunday? Holy cow.
On American Daily Review.
Enough for a hefty bag full for every 12
see,
that was there.
You can't even talk over him. He just keeps going. at the beginning of American Daily Review, which he mans the board on
that.
Did he
get it all out already?
It was like 20-something minutes long intro, man.
Oh, man.
I mean, there was highlights from the game. Then there was this unnerving laughter after every great thing that he'd been in.
Highlights from the game? Was he work for the network or something?
Just audio clips. And by the way, that hideous laughter was from somebody we both know, Engineer Joe and Alex, I guess all three of us, at the end of last week's edition of Constitution Radio when I made my prediction, and that apparently was considered highly humorous by the host of this program.
Yeah. You mean that insane laughter was me? Oh, God. Do I sound like that when I laugh?
I've got that for my podcast from now until eternity.
The Super Bowl was so long ago. I mean, can't we just move on from it?
Well, it was a boring game. Those limp little horsies didn't even put up a fight.
Well, the line of demarcation was the victory parade, where 700,000 people crammed and shoehorned their way into downtown Seattle on Wednesday. So,
okay, well,
that's where we're moving forward.
Only destroyed a few things.
Well, I'm not really over worried about time today because story number one really doesn't take much time to talk about. It's a very short story, you know, something about some team in Seattle winning some big football game. But the other stories are important. instead of an honorable mention, we do have breaking news. Iranian warships approach U.S. waters. Well, we got two warships and...
Technically, it's an Iranian destroyer and an accompanying helicopter supply ship.
Now, the Iranian destroyer, is it by any chance named the ISS Carter?
I thought it was the SS Minnow, but...
I would expect Iran to name ships after Carter since he's given them so much.
I think
the SS Mr. Peanut, yes.
I think an Iranian naval destroyer is a hula hoop with a nail in it.
Well, you know, my guess was it was the SS Minnow and Captain Jack Sparrow's dinghy.
Yeah, this is somewhere off the Atlantic, in the Atlantic somewhere, real close to U.S. waters.
It's moving that direction, yeah. It's apparently in retaliation for the United States Fifth Fleet being based in Bahrain.
See, I thought maybe they were just looking for Osama.
they'd have to resurrect. What was his name again? Jacques Cousteau.
While you're trying to figure that out, story number five: Obama's choice for ambassador to Argentina. He's never been there. He probably don't speak any Spanish either. Rubio brought this. Hey, have you ever been to Argentina? This is going to be the ambassador to Argentina. Now, here's what's interesting. This guy, as you so noted earlier show ADR, is an Obama bundler. In other words, you give Obama lots of money, he'll find some way to get you a job in the government that'll do you well, even if you have absolutely no talent or no skills regarding that job. You get it. Oh, we're going to send you off to Argentina, buddy. Oh, by the way, isn't Argentina getting more like Venezuela every time we breathe?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Senator Rubio challenged this particular individual over whether Argentina is truly an ally of the United States, saying the country is aligning more with the likes of Venezuela. Here was his reply. And when you hear the reply, you'll know why he was nominated to be ambassador to Argentina. Quote, "In my perspective, they are an ally who we disagree with." Which is pretty much, I guess that's how the regime defines enemies as allies we disagree with.
Well, and I'm sure that when the Soviet Union was around, they described them as an enemy we agree with, right?
That is the opposite side of the same coin, I think.
Countries all over the world are abandoning our flag and going over to the opposition simply because, as Osama bin Laden said, people respect the winning horse, the strong horse. We are so weak and so wishy-washy now. Who in the world would side with us against anybody?
That's a great point.
Well, if you're going to talk about weak horses, you're skipping ahead to story number one.
Oh, you're funny. Story number four, stopping the IRS. Yes, the IRS scandal is real, and McConnell and Boehner went after the IRS because, oh, they got another rule that kind of targets the Tea Party to try and get them to ditch that rule. You know, it's funny because that conversation with Mr. McNeil earlier really kind of tied into this.
Well, yeah. Now, what I think they should do, McConnell and Boehner sent a letter to the new commissioner of the IRS, and they said, well, we don't think you should go forward with this rule, but then they didn't really give him any kind of ultimatum. I think what the ultimatum should be is, if the IRS goes forward with this rule, we will defund your agency. Period.
Yeah. How about we also threaten to bring in a president that'll, you know, give pardons to everybody who refused to.
That would be using their own tactics against them. That really would be fighting fire with
fire. I'm still waiting for states to decide to outlaw federal withholding in their states. That would be – now, that I would like.
To me, to say that the various presidents in the past have used the IRS against their enemies, that's true. But when they were caught, it was a scandal. And they were embarrassed and they had to apologize. This president we have now is weaponizing the IRS.
And it's a feather in his cap.
He promotes –
it's a good way to put it.
He promotes the people responsible, and there is no punishment. Zero.
No, there's bonuses. In fact, you know that IRS employees got bonuses.
Well, they did exactly what he wanted them to do.
They got richly, mission accomplished, richly rewarded for their efforts.
Well, and like Karl Marx said, you know, peace comes when there's no opposition to socialism. They're working on it. Okay, story number three, jobs? Jobs? Who's talking about jobs? All right, 1,000, yeah, it almost feels like it's that low. 113,000 new jobs. Unemployment rate is somehow going down when it should be going up because people are falling off the unemployment rolls. 92 million have fallen out of the workforce. 92 million. Now, I have been saying all along that I believe that our unemployment rate is closer to 20% than what they say. But you gave me a number earlier on American Daily Review, Jasmius, that I was downright stunned by. Throw that number up there again.
Well, it was based upon the 90 to 95 million discouraged workers who are not considered part of the labor force anymore. And then you look at that percentage applied to the total population of the United States, and you're looking at over 25%. Now, the number that I didn't come up with it. It was one that I read recently that some estimate that the true unemployment rate could be as high as 37%. Now, that's a high-end number.
The highest it got during the Great Depression was in the mid-20%, like 25%, something like that.
25,
yeah. And they weren't, you know, and they were counting people who fell off the rolls because there were no rolls. But 37%, that's absolutely incredible.
Well, see, you know what what Barack Obama is going to say when the last American job is destroyed, right? We have full employment!
Well, they think that they've been making leaps and bounds with more employment because the federal jobs are going up.
That's the only jobs they recognize as being legitimate.
And if you look in Washington, D.C., the unemployment rate is way down and the median income is way up.
Look at Nancy Pelosi, what she's been saying. She says that being unemployed is an opportunity to spend time with your family. It's a bonus.
Well, as a matter of fact, this McConnell-Boehner thing, that's kind of what the left is getting out of it. Earlier, Jasmine was talking about that. It's freedom. You're free from your job to, you know, be free, I guess.
Oh, yeah. They have coined the term. Now, this ties into the story about the Congressional Budget Office announcing that Obamacare will – in effect, destroy 2.5 million additional jobs over the rest of this decade. And the left rose up and started squawking incoherently about freedom, and they even coined the term job lock, as in, well, you're stuck in this job, and wouldn't you like to get out of this job and live off everybody else?
Now, before we go to stories one and two, I was so enamored by our guest and enjoying the Pete Seeger bit earlier. I didn't do the Book of the Week or the Constitution question of the week, and I need to squeeze those in. Once again, story number one, it's not going to take too long, so we got plenty of time.
Nothing to talk about there.
Yeah, it's nothing to talk about there. Just
oh, listen to my podcast.
Move on, everybody. Move on. Nothing to see here.
The book is
plugging his show.
The book is A Law Unto Itself, The IRS and the Abuse of Power, a 1990 book written by David Burnham. Burnham, I guess, would be the Burnham. Burnham. And this is a quote from the book. In almost every administration since the IRS's inception, the information and power of the tax agency have been mobilized for explicitly political purposes. I thought it kind of fit in with what we were talking about. Good book. Definitely get it. David Burnham, A Law Unto Itself, The IRS and the Abuse of Power. Okay, now, Constitution Quest question of the week, constitutionquest.com. Game card straight from the game. Which of the following is a power of the president? A, temporarily fill vacancies in the executive branch during the recess of the Senate. B, regulate commerce. C, declare war. Which of the following is a power of the president?
I'm first.
Go for it.
A.
He's all excited because he thinks he has it right.
I think I know one.
I'll go with B.
Oh, yeah, I saw you in there. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Catch a liberal by the toe. Go ahead.
Can I give a Canadian
Jasmius.
Answer?
Yes.
Oh, gee.
A.
Temporarily fill vacancies in the executive branch during the recess of the Senate. That is correct. Declare war is a congressional power, as is regulate commerce. Now, that said, if you remember, Red Berry decided to appoint fill vacancies in the executive branch when the Senate wasn't in recess. But he said they were in recess because they were on vacation. They were in what was called a pro forma session in which they basically went down to a skeleton crew, so they didn't actually go out of recess. Everybody went on vacation, but then the skeleton crew would go in there, hit the gavel a couple times just to stay in session. And mainly to keep him from doing things like that, and he did it anyway. But anyway, all right. Story number two. Story number two and one are both very important. They are top stories, but they're not important to me, so they're real short and don't need to really have much to say about them. Story number two. Did you hear about the Winter Olympics? It started, and I'm really
On to the next story.
Yeah, nothing says excitement than
excitement
than competitive dancing on ice.
Nothing says excitement than no heating, a single bed, and a permeation of the odor of industrial glue.
Oh, and by the way, in Sochi, Russia, also there are signs by the toilet saying, please do not throw the toilet paper in the toilet. And there's a trash bin basket next to it, and I'm thinking to myself, oh.
Ew.
Oh, look at this tweet from Stacey St. Clair. She's typical of all the sports journalists that are trying to exist in Sochi this fortnight. My hotel has no water. If restored, the front desk says, do not use on your face because it contains something very dangerous.
And then when they tried to put up the five rings, they got four out of five. I guess that's not too bad.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was Vladimir Putin's superfluous nipple.
Oh, boy. We gotta hold him back sometimes. Story number one, the story that will take 10 seconds. Some team from Seattle won some big football game. I think it's called it's a Super Bowl of salsa or something like that.
Super Bowl 48.
All right. You got 2 seconds to plug yourself.
Bye.
No, I'm kidding. Go ahead. Plug yourself.
Art Starboard Radio, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific at blogtalkradio.com/HSR Network. Join us. Podcasts are all over the page.
He's the only person I know who I say, go plug yourself, and he does it happily.
Ooh, I hadn't thought about it.
Why don't you go plug yourself?
So there
oh, me. Boy. United we stand, combined we kick butt. God bless America. God bless you. Don't forget, politicalpistachio.com, douglasvgibbs.com, and write me all of your angry hate mail at constitutionspeaker@yahoo.com. I want to hear from you so I can also make fun of you on the radio. See you next Saturday.
KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind.
From the KCAA Weather Center, I'm Rod Tanner. For this afternoon, generally mostly sunny, our high 66. We'll have patchy fog tonight, otherwise generally mostly cloudy with a low of 49. We'll have patchy fog on Sunday morning, otherwise we'll have a partly sunny day with a high of 69. Look for patchy fog Sunday night, otherwise generally mostly cloudy with a low of 49. Monday, patchy fog lingers well into the day, otherwise we'll have a partly sunny day to start the week with a high of 68. Again, for this afternoon, we'll have mostly sunny skies and a high of 66. Patchy your weather forecast for this hour from the station that leaves no listener behind, NBC News Radio, AM 1050, KCAA.
This is Dick from Carpet Masters. Carpet Masters has been serving the Inland Empire for over 55 years. Carpet Masters uses extraction cleaning for your carpet because there's no better cleaning to remove the soil from your carpet. All of our furniture cleaning is done by hand in your home or in our plant. Carpet Masters also offers dry cleaning for fine furniture. Call Carpet Masters at 793-7215. That's 793-7215 for Carpet Masters.
Assume that you ran a business that was found guilty of bribery, forgery, perjury, defrauding homeowners, fleecing investors, swindling consumers, cheating credit card holders, violating U.S. trade laws, and bilking American soldiers. Can you even imagine the punishment you'd get? How about zero? No jail time, not even a fine. Plus, you get to stay on as boss. You get to keep all the loot you gain from the crime spree, and you even get an $8.5 million pay raise. Of course, you and I would never get such outrageous, absurd, kid-glove pampering by legal authorities. But then, we're not the capo of J.P. Morgan Chase, America's biggest bank and a crime syndicate that apparently is too big